Hey, we'd like to welcome you to the Monday night conference call. My name is Lynn Free, and I thank you guys for your patience. We didn't start at 6, and there was a technical difficulty. And those of you who have been checking in regularly know that this call is designed to be an integration of a group matrix, a planetary healing type call. And that means that everyone on the call has to be part of it. And if you're listening in, and how can I say this? If you were listening in,
all callers are muted.
If you were listening in for the first time, you'd say, how the heck does someone create a group matrix over a telephone line? And what is that? Well, this is something we've been doing now for probably a couple of years. And it started out as an experiment, and it is still an experiment because every time it's a new time. It's a new time out of nothingness, out of the void, to recreate the moment from nothing. And those who are listening tonight, this is a time to let go. Let go of where you came from. Let go of 10 minutes ago. Let go of your job. Even perhaps for a moment, your family and your friends. And your self-identity. And in the letting go of all of that, to go take a trip inside your own consciousness to maybe what the Zen people call the void. And from the void, we expand outwards to recreate this moment. And in that recreation, there is the opportunity to commune or connect with other beings. First of all, the beings on this call. Second of all, positive beings in other realms who we can integrate into this realm through our collective matrix. Now, maybe that makes no sense to you, and if it doesn't, I'm sorry. I'm trying to explain it in a way that might tap into an intuition on your part. And I thought I would talk a little bit tonight about DNA, energy fields, and how it all affects your evolution.
Can you pick up some wind? You're very
I'm low? Okay.
Very low.
Is that better now?
Yes, that's good.
Is that good? Okay, thank you, Wayne. Okay. DNA is the building block of your human experience. Supposedly, from DNA, someone could actually build another you, another body of you. DNA is what distinguishes one species from another, one person from another. And DNA has strings in it. I believe it's 12 strings that by their unique combination determines your physical expression in this realm. And then your soul has to fit in to the limitations that your DNA sets up. It would be as if the DNA creates a box, and your soul has to fit into the box that the DNA creates. And if you have a bigger box, more of you can fit in, and your expression becomes bigger, and more of your chakras are open, and you're more self-realized and totally completed in this realm. And if you have a smaller box, i.e., your DNA strands are less open, then you're compressed. And part of the nature of evolution in this realm is to open your DNA. And there's a relationship between DNA and energy fields called the unified field, for those that have read my book, called the toroid wave field. Things we've talked about in the past as Shakti energy, prana energy, Holy Spirit energy. This is the raw energy radiating through the universe that impacts DNA and then refines itself in your physical body through the DNA expressions of your body. Obviously, I think that as you change your DNA, it kind of spreads, changes through your whole body. And the way DNA changes is through the exposure to energy fields that program it. In the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there was the example of the chicken and the duck. And the Russians were able to create a beam of energy, of this kind of energy we're talking about, and aim it at the duck for a period of time. And then they aimed it at the chicken. And when the chicken laid eggs, the chicks hatched, the chicks had webbed feet. So there was a transference of DNA through this energy field from one to the other. Now, we are involved constantly in being in energy fields, no matter what we do, no matter who we're with. We are transferring energy back and forth to a greater or lesser extent. When you have a really high energy transfer, then you are in probably a DNA flow or an energy flow which has an impact on your DNA to a maximum extent. How does DNA transfer? How does energy transfer? Well, when you're with somebody, you're engaged in many, many levels. You're engaged emotionally. You're engaged mentally. You might be engaged physically. And then you're engaged energetically. Have you ever noticed that when people live together and love each other, they often tend to look like each other? And when somebody has a dog that they're really close to, oftentimes their expressions start to be congruent. And to me, these are examples of DNA transference, where you can actually take on characteristics of the person you're around, and they, your characteristics, because your DNA is being programmed by each other. Now, if you're in a relationship with somebody or around somebody, there's a way to maximize this transference. And the more maximum it is, the more love there is in the relationship. In Eastern tradition, this exchange of energy between people in relationships with the idea of maximizing the energy exchange is called Tantra. Now, oftentimes people associate the word Tantra with sex. And of course, sex is probably the greatest potential for energy exchange. And if you happen to have someone who is a partner, this is an area that you can can experiment in on how to have the maximum exchange in that way. But we are exchanging energy all the time. Every moment you have an opportunity to exchange energy. If you're standing in line in the supermarket, you may exchange energy with the cashier, or you may not. It may take the slightest of smiles or the slightest of hellos, and suddenly you're in an energy exchange. And if you come back to that same person often, oftentimes, every time you see them, you'll move into the same energy. And one asks, how in the real world do we do this? We've heard all these really far-out cosmic celestial things. And in the real world, it has to do with maximizing the energy exchange in the course of your day. And looking at each relationship and taking it from a mental relationship and an emotional relationship and transcending to where it is an energy relationship. And I don't know if I can say, here's how to do that, and if you do it. I know you can intend for it to happen. You can intend to have an energy exchange. That doesn't mean that it will happen. But certainly intending it is a good start, because if there's no intention, then you can probably be sure it doesn't happen. The goal is to take your day in the morning and go through it, and no matter where you are, you're exchanging energy with the people who are in your environment. And exchanging energy is another way of saying divine love. And some people, that energy exchange can happen without even saying a word. It just starts happening as a process of being in each other's space. And, of course, that is the best and the easiest. But most times, it takes a little bit of effort. Like, for example, if you have a partner, to start out and massage the person and open them up where their energy is tight. Touch the areas of their body and have them do the same to you. And then do it back to them, back and forth, till all the areas of miasms in your body are flowing freely, and suddenly you're having a really deep energy exchange with that person. There's an Indian word that when that occurs to the maximum, people can look in each other's eyes with no veils and look into the other person. And in Hindu, or in the Eastern world, they call that Twaji, T-W-A-J-I, where people can connect with no veils. And maybe some of you, I'm sure many of you have had that experience for a brief moment. And you can't force that. Obviously, you know, when you're looking at someone and the veil comes in and it gets uncomfortable, there's a need to deflect the energy or say something or start a conversation, because there's so much vulnerability when you're meeting in your consciousness in that way. So if you're on an ascending path in this realm, and you're having a human body, and you want to get through this realm and graduate, part of it has to do with this exchange of energy in the course of your day, in every which way, with everyone around you. Because this exchange of energy is what stimulates your DNA to start to expand. And as your DNA expands, you can start to, by expand, I mean open up more strings, you start to become a direct receiver of the energy from the cosmos. And then you need other people less. You can just be in that state of communion with the energy fields. But in the meantime, we need each other. We need each other to help each other open up these energies. And, of course, everyone has their own circumstance and has to figure out how to do this or how to bring people in their life that can play at this level. Because a relationship doesn't necessarily have to be romantic. It can just be massage partners and just having someone who you can massage and who can massage you back every day can totally change the nature of your day and how it goes. Because by consistently releasing miasms in your body, those areas where we all have trauma and pain and sorrow and sadness, by the continual release of them, we eventually create a circumstance where we heal ourselves. The area forgets to hold the cellular memory, and it doesn't become an obstacle. And we need each other to do that. Now, some of you that have been on our calls regularly have realized that there's an energy on this call. And even when you're alone, you can open up to that energy. Now, this doesn't necessarily take away the value that another human being can contribute to you. And it's not meant that you should disassociate yourself from people. It's learning how to have authentic relationships with people and energy exchanges, because the energy that comes through a human is not different than the energy that comes through these calls. It's just that sometimes it's harder to get a human to cooperate. But nonetheless, that's one of the reasons, or one of the things that is happening on these calls, is that people are actually connecting with each other and creating relationships of cooperation where they wouldn't have existed otherwise, and creating opportunities to share and exchange energy. Even over the phone, even with strangers, it's the enthusiasm of doing something that creates the openness. And in fact, who have been on the call regularly probably have learned to feel each other's energies, and that, how do I describe this? In the feeling of each other's energies, we have the opportunity to overcome our judgments and hold the loving energy for someone, even when you might have a predisposition to judge them, find fault with them, or be superior to them, feel superior to them. And as we do that, we're healing ourselves. The whole aspect of Christianity and many of the things Jesus said directly relate to the kinds of things we're talking about. And I believe that when he referred to the Holy Spirit, he was referring to this energy, and that one of the things that I have learned is that this energy is conscious, and it can pay attention to us, and it is intelligent, and it can notice us, and it can make decisions. And we are in the position to inspire and be open to that energy to make decisions that can help us and to help our planet. And it's not easy to create a realization of the consciousness of the energy we're talking about. I know for many years I experienced that energy, but I didn't know it was intelligent and conscious. I thought it was some kind of universal energy that was in a room that came in from God knows where, and that I think I experienced it the first time in a spiritual meeting of a teacher that I had maybe 30 years ago, and that he was able to give a talk, and while he spoke, that energy would become present, and I could see it as light energy dancing around people. And I could feel, while he spoke, how that energy would come into me and change how I was feeling. I would transform. And it was almost like the pain was being sucked out of me. And it would leave, and at the end of that meeting, I was in a state of freedom inside myself. And in my normal life circumstance, I was constricted. And I observed that happening over and over again. And I decided that I think this is what Jesus meant by Holy Spirit, that energy. And I believe that same energy is working in this group. It's working with anyone who can invoke it. It's a free and clear energy that is available to anyone with a high intent and who opens their field to receive that energy. Sometimes we need each other to get the field open to allow that energy in, to get it started, because many of us have spent so many lifetimes, certainly this lifetime, where that kind of openness was not available to us. So, on that note, what I thought I would like to do, see what time it is. 6:30. I thought maybe we would do a planetary healing session, and I'd let Gino help this. He's on the line in Madrid, Spain. And I give everyone who's listening on BBS a sample of what we do on Sunday mornings, where we establish a group energy matrix on a conference line, and then we send this energy to locations, different locations in this country and around the planet. In many cases, there's a person at the location actually anchoring the energy, and we direct the energy through the group energy, through that person, and into the earth. And according to the many channelings we've had, doing this is greatly beneficial, and it has a number of positive results, one of them being that it helps us to open our own chakras. Another one being that we become the lightning rods for this energy, directing it through our bodies and connect to the earth. And apparently the earth does not get enough of this energy and feels rather estranged. And in fact, many people just are violating the energy field of the earth, and which hurts the earth. So supposedly, if the earth gets more of this energy, she likes us better, and there's less earthquakes and there's less natural disasters. And the other benefit of this is we are communing with these group souls, and they have more permission to do interventions in this realm just by the nature of the fact that we're connecting with them and being of service at a high level. They need our permission in order to do interventions. And on our conference calls, one of the underlying aspects is to create these liaisons with the two group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, and get them on our side, so that we can counter some of the things that the negative is actually doing to subvert our planet. So on that note, I'll take a moment of silence and take a deep breath. And let me see if Gino's on the line before I turn it over to him. He's in Spain, he got upstate of my here.
All callers are unmuted.
Gino, are you on the line?
I'm here in the live.
You're on the line, okay. I'm unmuted, everybody. So please keep your sound down. And I thought, Gino, I'd have you share a little bit about what happens on the conference calls on Sunday morning, and particularly the call that you do, and maybe lead us into a group consciousness and do a remote healing on some locations that could use it. And let's see, what time is it? We have 6:33. We have about 17 minutes, so we have to pace this. But why don't you go ahead and explain that? I don't think Terry is on the line. Terry, are you on the line? No. So go ahead, Gino, and explain what happens on Sundays. And speak loud.
Speak up. How's that?
Yeah, that's good.
Good. Okay. Well, we've been doing the grid healings every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific time. And the main purpose of the grid healing is to combine our intentions as a group, you know, pretty much tune our frequencies, intentions, and try to either remotely or by a person who would like to anchor the energy, send love, light, healing, if that's intention that is predisposed, to that location. The way it works is if an area or a city anywhere in the world that has experienced any sort of trauma, be by earthquake or natural disaster, or anything that could affect the collective consciousness of the people in that area, then we're able to bring in light just by our own intention from the galactic center where this divine energy is created, where it's emanating, and we're able to redirect it through the earth grids above this location. And from our experience, the earth grids that encircle the planet are also affected by the collective consciousness of the people. So if it is easy for you to visualize a caller, you would say that the earth grids in a normal state with high vibration will be white, crystallized white, vibrating white. And if the location has experienced trauma, then these colors would change, just as a chakra on your body have blockages and you're able to visualize sort of a color, then you can visualize the earth grid being of, you know, having muddy look, and not letting the energy penetrate through it. So we come in, we allow the energy to penetrate with the help of our celestial groups, anchor it at that location, and we allow the opportunity for this light to be accessible for everyone here. So we're not forcing any changes. We're just allowing the change to occur by itself by tapping into this energy. So for some people, when they experience any problems, troubles, or stress, some find shelter in a church because the energy there is very peaceful. And so that's the same sort of peacefulness that we can bring down onto these locations. So people would have the opportunity to access it and maybe change their point of view, access a feeling of peacefulness, harmony, that will create a change. Now, if there's 20 of us on the line, it's like we're tapping with millions of higher forces, individuals who are, actually our intention is being amplified like a million times or a few million times. And so the purest the intent is, the higher the energy comes through and allows for change. People who have been anchoring the light in those locations report seeing a cloudy day before we start, and then when we're done anchoring the light and we place a huge column of light at this location, they see the sun come through. And it's not just that the clouds break up. You can see the sun, and they report saying that it's just a beautiful, brilliant sun coming through and illuminating the place as if it has really happened, when in fact it has. But we can't prove it. But it truly changes the consciousness of people. Everyone has reported a shift on the atmosphere, on the, all around them. So that will be it, in a nutshell, what we try to do with the Sunday Grid Healings. It is very powerful energy that we're dealing with, especially if we're sending light and love to locations that have experienced a sort of a disaster. If there's any, let's say, death or war or violence, we really have to protect ourselves. That energy could attach to ourselves and become part of our matrix as well. And so we always make sure that we encircle ourselves in light for the highest good. And that therefore, we're not attaching ourselves with any energy, just placing a column of light. It is high energy at that line. It is very intense for people who are at that location, will feel their body opening up as if the chakras. Now, another addition to this Greek healing location is that we have the help and co-moderating of Terry Brown, who she's able to remotely tap at those locations after there has been a description, physical description of those locations. She's able to tap into those locations and see what the trauma has been. And therefore, we can send the correct frequency and the appropriate intention towards that location for that, for the most effective healing to take place. And having Terry on the line, it's just amazing, because you are able to connect very clearly with the locations that we're working on, be physical locations or be remote locations. And so we can start now by picking a location. There's many locations that need light and love, but we did one yesterday, which was Sedona. And the reason I like this one particularly is because every time we place a column of light, and this is from my own experience, and what I see is when we place a column of light, we're usually clearing up stress, just negative, unproductive energy. And so we visualize a white column of light, and we crystallize it by the intense, the light being more intense and stronger and grounding into the center of the earth. But Sedona, I like it. I really like this location because we're able to see a green column of light reaching from the earth to the galactic center and back and forth, but also lighting up the Christ grids or the earth grids around this location, thus sending love. If you know about your chakras and they represent different colors, the green color will be the heart chakra. And so this location has many vortexes. And what we concluded is that at this location, there was a blockage of this chakra. And with the help of Terry and the help of higher forces, we were able to unblock this chakra of the earth and allow this love and light, green energy, to flow freely. Thus spreading the love, thus spreading that harmonious state, throughout the location and throughout the Christ grids. It's easier now to be connected to that location just by thinking of it. So I would like everybody to close their eyes. Breathe deeply. And as you inhale air, imagine that the air is white energy, divine energy from the galactic center, this intelligent energy. And as you release, you're letting go of all the stress and all negativity. And as you inhale, your body fills with light and it starts shining bright. And so now you can see your body, you can see yourself become a being of light. And as you hear my voice, we're all tuning in into the same frequency. So now let's get together as a sphere of light above the Arizona desert. And visualize yourself becoming a huge circle of light, hovering over Arizona. And as you do this, we're combining our energies, our intentions. What I'd like to do right now is let's move the sphere of light over a beautiful location called Sedona. And if you can see ahead as we move towards it, visualize a beautiful green column of light emanating from this location. This energy is being triangulated by rocks and boulders and points of energy. And within this column of light, visualize a spiral shape energy flowing up and down as it is connected to the earth grids and the Hunaku. And as we move into this column of light, we start to feel love from Mother Earth. Think back of the moments that you connected with Mother Earth, Gaia. Nature, it's a good way to connect with her. And so in this location, we're able to feel love and receive love. We can also send back this love. So as a group intention with the same group energy and connecting with the higher forces for our help, let's send love to Mother Earth through this energy center. And let's tell her that we love her. And send the intention from the heart. If you visualize your heart area, your chest, visualize the chakra around there spinning. Any direction you want, it's not important. And as it starts spinning around, you're sending this energy towards this location, connecting with the galactic center, connecting with the earth grid, connecting with Sedona, and anchoring this intention to the center of the earth. Receiving love light from Mother Earth and sending love light. If you hold that intention for a few seconds, crystallized the column of light. If you see an emerald green, and if you're comfortable visualizing, crystallize this emerald green to become a solid green, beautiful love light energy, green energy. Now take a deep breath and go back to your body, back to your surroundings, and see it illuminating in light. You have been protected by light, and now you can reach out with the same energy around your house to your friends and family. You can share this love and light that you just received. Thank you. I'm going to pass it over to Wayne now. wind. Okay.
A genome?
Is there another? Yeah.
Sorry, I was muted while you were doing that. And, Gino, you just came back from a trip to the pyramids where we did a group energy healing with the pyramids. And you want, let me see, how much, want to share a little bit about that?
Sure. The pyramids hold a very important value, not just scientifically, because no one can understand how they were built. I mean, there's many theories. Actually, thousands of them. But the special thing with the pyramid is, I mean, this is what my impression, what is important from my point of view. I'm not going to decipher the pyramid. And we talked about the chambers within the Cheops and the Khafre pyramid, which is the middle one. But going into that will take a bit of time. Let's just, if you might, visualize the Nile River flowing south to north, which is the longest river in the world. And the Egyptians believed within their empire that the Nile represented the spinal cord of the human. And so they built temples along the side of the river, starting from where the river starts flowing, they built a temple that would represent the root chakra. This is the Aswan, Abu Simbel temple, Ramses and Nefertiti. And you have both energies, masculine and feminine. And as you move along the river, which is not a river anymore now because they closed it off, creating a lake, Lake Nasser, you can travel through different temples, thus activating through a process of initiation different chakras along your body. The initiation is not just one, because there's many chambers for initiation. There's actually, it could be one story of chambers for initiation. It could be two stories or three stories, depending on the degree of initiation you're acquiring. And these temples are already abandoned. People just visit them. And some of them have been moved. And the reason that is because as the Nile was cut off to create this lake, there was a campaign of countries to relocate some of the temples. One of them was the Ramses and Nefertiti, and some other temples. And so the energy has shifted. They picked those locations specifically because those are energy centers along the Nile. Not just out of coincidence, but they specifically picked those places. And so as you move along the Nile from south to north, you're able to visit those temples. And if you're very intuitive or perceptive of the energies around the temples, you're able to tap into those chakras. I mean, some people just freely do it as they see no harm. I had an experience on one of the temples that we can talk about later. It was a temple of Horus or Etsu. And that, I believe that chakra that you might open on that one is the solar plexus. Yellow light. Red, orange, yellow. Is that right, Wayne?
Yes.
Okay. And so, but that temple has been abandoned, has been rebuilt over an old temple, and we'll get back to it later, maybe during the week. And so as you move along the river, you find different temples ending with the pyramids that's representing the crown chakra, the violet ray. This is the openness to the divinity. This is the way you tap into intelligent energy. And so this location holds a very special value to Egypt. And it has, from many books, and Wynne has mentioned that also, it creates a vortex of energy. An interesting story that we heard from our tour guide, Muheb, said that well, 30 years ago, while they were the Egyptian government needing help to relocate some of the temples, they asked for international help. Most countries understood, especially America and Russia and Germany, understood the value of the temples and the pyramids. So they volunteered to help out relocating these temples with a condition that they will be allowed to scientifically study the pyramids. If I'm not mistaken, the KGB just released a report that was 30 years ago, and now it gets released, just like the CIA has their reports, that it specifies that a group of scientists of 18 people, or 18 scientists, conducted a research around the pyramids, and they noticed that there is a special vortex being formed around, not a gigantic one, but a small one, that's sort of a, like, Stargate.
You know,
believe it or not, but this is reported.
Yeah. You know what? We're going over. I just looked at the clock here. I don't know if Seth cut us off, so I better stop you and say goodbye.
It's 2:52.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We end at 6:50, and then the next show starts at 55. You know, it's kind of a weird schedule on station two.
That's fine. We'll talk about it later.
Thanks for sharing with us.
For that.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. And if you're interested in participating in our conference calls, go to higher-vision.org, and there's the instructions on how to do that. And we have another call on Wednesday and another call on next Saturday. And we're going to say goodbye to our audience at BBS and continue with calling in the light on the people on the call tonight.